song we're going to sing is called Christmas Day, and I really think it goes along great with the theme the pastor has picked out for our songs.
Chapter 19, let's go with first. We'll get there first. You'll see why in just a moment. We've just finished our book study of 1 Timothy last week. And praise the Lord. I hope it was a benefit to your walk with the Lord. Also, 2 weeks ago, we had our annual family praise service, and that was a special blessing to my heart as we praised the Lord together and had all different kinds of opportunities of worship and testimony. We appreciate those that gave testimony that morning. And we're entering into this very special time of year, a wonderful time that I enjoy with all the colors, with all the lights, with all of the special emphasis that's given of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just reminds us of so much more of what we have to be thankful for and who we have to worship and to consider at this time of year. It's also very easily to get sidetracked with a lot of the fast pace and things that are planned on our calendars. If we're not careful, we can lose sight of it. So I encourage you with that as well. But like Andy Williams' song titled It's the most wonderful time of the year. Not for the reasons that he cited, but for the reasons that we cite as we think about it. In Psalm 99, in verse 9, it reads, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy." I want to say a couple things about that. First is, every time I come across this verse, I think about phone calls that I get. Is this Holy Hills Baptist Church? Holly. But still, praise the Lord, it is a holy God that we serve. And that's what it said there. For the Lord our God is holy. And we can worship at his holy hill. And we are to come before him, and to worship is the key. But this verse certainly shares with us the message that I want us to see today. We are to worship the Lord, for he is worthy. He is the one that deserves our praise. He deserves everything of good that we say. Gordon Dale once said concerning worship in America, he said, "Our problem is that we worship our work. We work at our play, and we play at our worship." Let that sink in just for a minute. How can that be? We worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. I don't think that's true of all Christians. I hope it's not true of many of y'all in here, but it's possible that it's speaking about those that what we call play church. They kind of go through the motions of being at church, and they check it off and said, I'm done, now I can get on with what I want to do. And that mentality is not one very much of worship unto the Lord. It's just going through the motions, and it's more like what David was talking about in Sunday school this morning, of Pharisees that had a work mentality. You're just going through and doing things and getting those things done, and think that's what makes them right with God. Our coming to church doesn't make us right with God any more than going into a garage makes you a car, makes you a mechanic or anything else. If we come into the church, and this is the place that we are gathered because we are a called out people to assemble together. That's what ecclesia, church, means. And so we have come to assemble together, and we are gathered together. And in our gathering, we have a purpose. And the main purpose of our gathering together is to uplift and glorify our Lord and Savior. Amen. It is God that means everything. He is everything to us. And we are to be thankful for what he has done and for what he gives us. Excuse me, my mouth is dry. But you know, we are to see today, and I want to emphasize today, as we've just come off of Thanksgiving and praise service that we've had, and now we're coming into Christmas, and all the messages and the devotionals and the readings and the songs that we will sing are all going to be talking about and pointing us to the theme of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this world and the purpose of it and what he has given for us and how we can benefit from that. And so all of this is part of our worship, and we all need to take it very seriously. So I've entitled the message today, Worthy of Worship. Father, I pray that as we look into your word, as we look into this particular subject, that we would not think very simply that we understand what worship is, but Lord, help our minds to be open to what you may impress upon us today. Lead me in the thoughts as I share. May it be very clear. And also pray that through your Holy Spirit, you may touch our hearts, that we would be different when we left than when we first came in. Thank you, Lord, again, for what you're going to accomplish. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Worship defined. What is it? I think most of us have an idea of what worship is talking about. But it's an attitude and it's a response toward God of all respect and reverence. Having an attitude of reverence, having an attitude of respect, responding to him in awe of who he is. We should be awestruck as we think about the greatness, the majesty, the holiness, and the worthiness of our God. here in Revelation chapter 19 that I ask you to turn to. In verse 6 it says, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. We are to do that. That should be our response as we think about who God is. The Lord God omnipotent, all-powerful, reigns. Let us give honor unto him. We are to worship him. We're to give him that praise because he alone is worthy. Therefore, worship would be recognizing and giving God the honor that is due him. Whatever capacity that is, and we'll see some different ways to do that in just a moment. Psalm 29 in verse 2 says, Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And we are to come together, and we do, as we come here, with that purpose in mind that we want to worship the Lord together. We want to give him the glory that's due unto him. Many times as I'm praying on Sunday mornings in preparation to come in for the service, my prayer will include, Lord, glorify yourself amongst us today. Do something today that only you can do. And that's where we need to get out of the way, and we need to let God. And we need to be looking for what he is going to do, and we need to be praying that he would show himself magnificent amongst us. Worship not only is understanding it defined, but it is deserved, as we've hit on a little bit. Who and why does God deserve our worship? And I believe there's several reasons to it. Number one, he is the creator of everything. We're again in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and in verse 11. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He has created all things, and we are to give him that glory, that honor, that recognition for who he is as our creator. In Colossians, we're told that the Lord Jesus is that creator. He has created all things for himself, by himself. And it goes on to say that he might have the preeminence. Preeminence means the first place. He ought to be the top when it comes to our lives. In our mind, in our respect, in our thoughts of who is the most important in our lives, it ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have him as our creator. He deserves our worship because he did create all things for his own pleasure. Secondly, he is deserves our worship and praise because he is our redeemer. To redeem means to buy back, to purchase. He purchased us with his own blood. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, you know it, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. We don't belong to ourselves. For we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body, with your spirit, which belongs to him. It all belongs to him. We have been bought. We have been created. We belong to him. He should be the one that gets the glory for it all. As we read earlier in Psalm 99, verse 9 there, at the end it says, For the Lord our God is holy. He is a holy God, and therefore he deserves our worship. You know, everything about God is rooted in that characteristic of his holiness. His love is a holy love. His justice is a holy justice. God is holy. It's emphasized in Isaiah 6. You remember when the seraphims cried out, they cried, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Emphasizing the holiness of God in our presence. We are to understand that we are to worship God because he is a holy God. We are to be holy. As Peter tells us, Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. We have that as a command to us, an expectation to us, but we are still in this human body that falls short so often. It doesn't mean there's an excuse, but we have a recognition of it, and we are to be pressing toward the mark. We are to be seeking toward that perfection, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. But God is the only one that is truly holy. Right now today, there is only one, and God is holy. Amen. We are to worship Him. We are to worship Him because He is gracious, He is merciful, and He is forgiven. This past Wednesday night, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. I said it's going to be in my message. We talked about Wednesday night that God is merciful, He is gracious, that He is forgiving, and that not a one of us deserve to have God's mercy. What does God's mercy give us? God's mercy doesn't give us. God's mercy withholds the judgment of our sin that we deserved. And in His mercy, He withholds that judgment. In His grace, He bestows upon us forgiveness of our sins, removal of it completely, and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve Christ's righteousness. We don't deserve God's grace. But that's what the intent of those words all mean. It is mercy and it is grace, it's forgiveness that is totally undeserved by us, but given freely by God as we take advantage of the gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus, who died to pay that price of our sin debt. It's hard for me to believe that there's possibility of people or young people sitting in a church service such as this and hearing week after week and year after year about what Jesus Christ has done and how He's paid for their sins and that they may freely receive what Jesus Christ has done, and yet someone could sit through that and not have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it's still possible. And so I encourage you, if there's any question at all in your heart, whether or not you have made that choice, don't put it off any longer. None of us are guaranteed that other chance. We need to make sure of that decision right away. We're told in Ephesians 1:7 of God's gracious and merciful and forgivingness that He gives. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." It's tied together. Therefore, in Hebrews 4:16, we read, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." All of it is God's giving. We don't deserve it, but He so graciously and mercifully gives. And we praise the Lord for that. We're not saved by any works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. Titus 3:5. So all of this is His gracious and merciful and forgiving spirit that we are to worship Him because of this and much more. And it carries with it the idea of His worth-ship. You think of worship. His worth-ship. He is worth it. He alone is worthy. In Revelation 5, verses 11 and 12, it says, "I have beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." That's a lot, isn't it? All of these, the angels, the elders, the believers, they're saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." What is the great truth? Worthy is the Lamb. He is the one that is worthy of our worship. He is the one that should receive it. But there are ones in which we are not to worship. We're told certainly not to worship Satan. You remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan after He had been in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights fasting, And there were three particular temptations that the devil brought his way. One was to bring him up into a high part of a mountain and show him the kingdoms of the world and said, all of these I'll give unto you if you'll fall down and worship me. Jesus responded in Luke 4:8. Jesus answered him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. Worship the Lord thy God only. We would not disagree with that. We would say, certainly, Pastor, I know we should not be worshiping Satan. Secondly, we shouldn't be worshiping angels. Back over into Revelation 22. In Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9, John here is writing, he says, chapter 22, verse 8 and 9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed them me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. He fell down to worship at the feet of this angel that showed him these things, and he says, hey, you don't worship angels. We're just fellow servants with you. Worship God. That's the point. We don't worship angels, and we certainly don't worship Satan. We don't worship men. A similar thing happened with Peter in Acts 10, verses 25 and 26. It says that as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter said, stand up. I myself also am a man. We're not to worship people. We're not to even put a person on a pedestal. Certainly don't put me on a pedestal as a pastor. I am to be an elder as an example unto you and a leader in the church as a bishop, and I'm to be the pastor that feeds you and tends to you as the flock of God. But it's still, I am just a man, and I can fail. And so it's important that we not have any kind of a person that is held up in that kind of a position, but we worship God. We keep our eyes upon Him. So you say, Pastor, well, I'm not being tempted to worship Satan or angels or any other men. Well, what about the next one here? I think we can quickly say one answer, but then we may have to revise. The last one here is, we're not to worship other gods. Well, that would seem simple. Deuteronomy 8:19, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Do you worship any other gods? Now, we could easily say, well, Pastor, you know, I don't have any statues in my house. I don't have any of stone or wood. I don't have anything of that nature that I put around my neck or hang on my wall or do anything of that nature that I hold as a God that I worship. Okay, I think every one of us would say that would be true. I would hope so. But that's not all that it means. You know, God has given unto us as stewards, He has given unto us our time that we have to meet with Him here. He's given us our talents, our abilities to serve the Lord within the capacity of the church ministry and its ministries throughout. He's given us our treasure of our finances that we are to use to worship Him in our giving. When we take the time that is due to God and we give it to something else, or we take the energy that we should be using in serving the Lord and we only give it to other things, or we take the tithes and offerings that we are to give unto the Lord and we use it for other things, we are putting other things before God. And those things then become other gods to us. We may not view them that way. We may not want to admit to ourselves even that, but we have to evaluate and say, Lord, could it be there's something in my life that I've let to creep in. Maybe it's a mentality, or maybe it's a practice, or maybe I've gotten out of practice of something that you want to speak to me about today in this particular area. I want to be faithful to worship God and not let anything else come between me and Him. It is important for us to recognize what God has done and who He is to us. In Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14, it says, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." God loves us. And I can't think but the analogy of a husband and wife. God has given us that analogy in the relationship we have with Him. And if my wife was snuggling up to another man, you know, I'd have some feelings about that. Because I am a jealous husband. I want all of her love myself. And to praise the Lord, she gives it that way. And I think that's the way that God looks at us too. He is a jealous God. He wants our love and devotion to go to Him. And when we take that and we give it to any other, it is affecting our relationship and walk with the Lord. He wants and He deserves our love. Give Him the honor that is due Him, for He alone is worthy. And then we have some ways in which we are to worship. It's demonstrated in many different avenues of worship throughout all of the aspects of church ministry. There are three main categories that I'd like to share with you as we close. Number one is direct access. We have direct access to God in a couple of ways. One is obviously through prayer. And I'm not talking about just asking. Matter of fact, it might be a good opportunity for you to think about doing an inventory evaluation of your prayer life. What is it that you normally pray for when you speak to God? How is your prayer addressed to Him? Do you primarily go to the Lord and say, "Well, Lord, will you help me with this? And can you help me to get this done? And please be with me with this and this situation I've got at work and this, you know." And it almost sounds like we are the master and He's the servant. And then we're just asking Him to do all of these things for us. That's not the only thing that we can come to God with our needs and so forth, but that's not the only thing that we're to do. There's a lot of adoration and praise that we can give directly to the Lord in our prayer time. But we've got to take the time and stop and say, "Lord, I'm not just going to come and tell you what I want real quick and got to go because I ain't got any more time for you." But we need to spend that time in prayer with the Lord. And communing with Him and thinking about who He is to us so that we can give Him praise and adoration. Not only that, but our testimony. A couple of weeks ago with our praise service, we had good testimony time. We'll have some more testimonies here, Lord willing, on Christmas Eve, our Candlelight Carol service. Looking forward to that. And but it's a time to give praise unto the Lord for what He has done. And something that which He has brought into our life that we can praise Him for. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, "Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." We ought to use our lips to give thanks unto the Lord. We ought to come unto Him with praise continually, lifting up before Him. And testimony is a great opportunity. Not just talking about here in church, but you can testify to your own family. You can testify to your spouse. You can testify to people at work. There's opportunities in which we can give great praise unto the Lord for what He has done, what He is doing, and how you feel about Him. And this time of year reminds us of so much that we have that we can. And I pray that you would use that. So prayer and testimony. Third opportunity, and we've been doing it all this morning, is singing and special music. It leads, as I've said so often, in our thoughts of worship. I hope that when you come to church and sing, and if it's a familiar song, you just don't sing it out and go through it and then think, you know, what did I sing? That's just going through the motions. It's not really letting it sink in. It's not really letting it be a part of your lifting up and meaning what we're saying unto the Lord and those songs that we sing. And also special music, as wonderful as it is and a blessing that it is to our hearts, there's no special music, whether coming from individual groups or the choir, there's no special music that's intended to be entertainment. It is intended to be worship unto the Lord. It's intended to lead us in our thoughts and the message of the song, to think about who God is and what he has done for us. And that's the key. Back years ago, when I first came to the church, just a few years later, there was a man that got saved here in the church, and he said, you know, Pastor, one of the first things that got my attention when I was visiting the church is you made a statement, and that statement had to do with worship is not a spectator sport. We're not here to entertain you. And he said, that kind of spoke to me, and I thought, you know, I've never heard of any church I've ever gone to that's made any kind of statement like that. And there are a lot of churches you can go to today, and that's primarily what it is. It's you sit back and you watch, and we're going to entertain you up here with all of our singing, with all of our goings, and it's not a participation in worship. But folks, you're here today, and I invite you every service to participate with us in worship of our God. That is what it is. Worship is not a spectator sport. You ought to be participating. So I ask you this morning, are you? Have you been this morning participating in worship of the Lord, or just going through the motions here today? Psalm 66:4 says, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee, and they shall sing to thy name. Singing is a great part of our worship. It's not just a tradition, but it's there for a reason. And we are to take advantage of it and worship the Lord correctly. Not only direct access, but service unto the Lord. There's two verses I'm going to read to you next. Both of them have the same Greek word in it, translated a little differently. And I'll emphasize them to you, and you'll catch it real quick. Philippians 3:3 says, for we worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ. We worship God, okay? The second one is Romans 1:9. It says, for God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit. What are the two words? Worship and serve. It's the same Greek word, but both of them are rendered differently there, indicating to us that our service unto the Lord is part of our worship. We are worshiping the Lord as we serve. We are giving of ourselves. We're doing it, hopefully, every one of us, as unto the Lord, as we're to do everything. But our service is part of our worship unto him. Even, as I mentioned, of our giving financially is part of our worship unto the Lord of service. In 1 Chronicles 16:29, it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We are to come before the Lord in our worship. We're to bring an offering unto him. In Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord. That's part of our worship. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Of all your income, we're to bring first unto the Lord his part in our worship and service of him. And so any service done as unto the Lord, that service is part of our worship unto the Lord. And then thirdly, the main categories of worship would be a response to God's word. You know, whether it's reading God's word, whether it's being taught to you, whether it's being preached such as this, how we respond to the word of God, how do we respond to the message of God is part of our worship of him. Your personal surrender to God's word is part of your worship. I hope that none of us would come here and intentionally listen to what God says and say, you know, I understand what he says, but I'm not going to do that. What a rebellious spirit against the Lord. I would say a majority of us don't really do that, I would hope. But it's still possible that we may listen and hear and think and then kind of put out of our mind and go on our way. Really the same thing. We're not dealing with it. We're not submitting. We're not bowing the knee of submission unto the Lord as we should. There's an illustration you probably have heard of Joni Erickson Tada. I think most of you probably would know her. The woman that became a quadriplegic through a diving accident when she was 17 years of age, never has had any feeling in her legs and since then. While she was attending a convention, the speaker closed the message with an appeal for everyone to kneel in prayer. Mrs. Tada was the only one unable to perform that task. Although God knew her heart was kneeling, she began to cry because she wanted to physically kneel before the Lord. Through tears of passion, she prayed. This is her testimony of what she prayed. Lord Jesus, I can't wait for the day when I will rise up on resurrected legs. The first thing I will then do is to drop on grateful, glorified knees to worship you. I tell you, she had a heart, even though she didn't get on her knees, she had a heart to be there to worship. May we who can get on our knees have a heart to do so and worship the Lord together. We need to have that submission unto the Lord when we hear his word and say, Lord, I want to bow to you. I want to do what you say. What a great form of worship we have in that way. I ask you to bow your heads with me right now. I want you to think about what we have just covered. The first thing I want to say to you is true worship of God comes after one has a true relationship with God. What I mean by that is that you can't really truly worship God until you're first born again. You never have a true heart to worship God properly until you first have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I've explained a little bit about it, but I encourage you here today, if you are unsure whether or not you have that relationship with the Lord, I'm not asking you if you're a church member, I'm not asking you if you believe in God, I'm not asking you if you've been baptized or that you've given to the offering plate, I'm not asking you if you go to church on a regular basis. None of those things is what I'm asking. But have you come to a point where you know that you are a sinner? And you believe that Jesus Christ died for the purpose of paying that price for your sin. And that you personally have made a choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We believe who he is. We believe what he's done. We believe who we are as sinners. We believe what our need is. We need a Savior, and we believe that Jesus Christ is the one. And by faith, we make the choice to receive him. If you have never done that, would you not do that today? Please, don't put it off any longer. Christian, do you come to church expecting to worship God? Do you come looking for opportunities to worship in your serving him? Do you come prepared in your heart to worship the Lord together? These are ways in which we need to come expecting that we will worship God as we're here. I encourage you to evaluate in your life this morning. Since worship is a cord that is woven throughout all aspects of our church activity, it's better that we make sure that we're doing it right. Father, I pray that as we have looked into your word this morning, as we have seen who you are to us, that you are worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of us spending the time in adoration. Lord, I pray that we would also be thankful. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us this morning. And I pray that as we leave out of here, we'll be better equipped and reminded to worship you through this season that's so special for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.